It's the Midnight Radio Network. Eric Harley, he's Gary McNamara over there. And retired senior trooper Monty Dial is here. It must be Ask the Law, and we will get to Ask the Law in just a moment. Gary and I have already started the show. You need to just, frankly, you should get here earlier. We don't know where you've been, but we already started the show. But lots going on over the weekend. The credit rating for the United States being downgraded late Friday after the markets closed. This scuttlebutt was going on back and forth between the White House and the S&P on Friday afternoon, going back as far as their numbers were concerned, the S&P's numbers. And then S&P went back and kind of deliberated further for a little over an hour, a couple hours, and came back and said, you know, we're sticking with our first choice, and we're downgrading the U.S. from a AAA rating now to double A plus, which, by the way, I never achieved in high school. Neither rating did I ever. You never saw any triple A's or even double A plus on any of my papers.
Well, but, it's interesting because looking at the foreign markets and the Dow futures already down big time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the foreign markets also tanking. This will be one of those weeks if you look at the numbers, it is likely to be one of those weeks on Wall Street that just is going to give you a headache.
I was going to say gold, oil beneath 84.
Yeah, and that's something that's it's good news on the surface, bad news because of the reason behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to that and more later in the show. It is Ask the Law for Monday, August 8th, 2011. We are live with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol. It's courtesy of Old Blue USA. The information and answers to questions are up to date as of today. Can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Go to askthelaw.org and click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law and submit your CMB questions anytime. Trooper Dial, welcome. How are you?
Glad to be here.
Hey, thank you so much for being here. And we want to remind drivers that you're actually going to be at the Great American Trucking Show in Dallas, August 25th through the 27th. And you guys will be on display with Old Blue USA in the Safety Center. You will be there along with Lieutenant Monty Key and his team from the Texas Highway Patrol. So
yes,
be out there. It's indoors, and
yes,
thank
it is.
Goodness for that.
It is indoors.
You know, normally this would be the time of year when we start getting acclimated to those 100-degree days. We've been acclimated since June around
yes.
here. So walking
yes.
from your car to the convention center in Dallas, August 25th through the 27th, won't be a big deal at all.
Not for us.
No, not for any of us that live here. So we invite you down August 25th through the 27th. GatsOnline.com is the website, GatsOnline.com for the Great American Trucking Show there in Dallas. Old Blue USA, another big showing there in the Safety Center. So make sure you stop by. When you're at the Great American Trucking Show, do you guys do schedule demonstrations? Are you answering questions, or is it all the above?
If RJ brings the truck,
yeah,
we will do some actual demonstrations. Unfortunately, he is not bringing the truck this year. So we will be there to answer questions from the time the show opens until it closes each day.
Wow. We're going to be there out there in the lobby. Gary and I usually try and make some effort to get over there and see you guys sometime during that 3 days, depending on how busy we are. But we know there's plenty of questions out there for drivers. So what we invite drivers to do right now is get on board, 800-288-9227. Maybe you've had something happen during a recent a roadside inspection, and you're wondering how that's going to affect you under CSA. Maybe you got a question about hours of service. Any regulatory item, we will make every effort to get your questions answered right now at 800-288-9227, 800-288-9227. 9227. I also had some questions by email. We'll get to those a little bit later. But something that we did not cover on the last time that you were here on the last Ask the Law, but that is some changes to the idling rules in Texas.
Yes.
What are those changes?
Okay. As everyone is aware, in 2009, August the 31st of 2009, the old idling law expired.
Right.
The Texas legislators got to playing politics down in Austin.
Right.
And didn't get a new bill introduced. And so what happened was there were some cities and counties in the North Texas area. There were some cities and counties in the Central Texas area down around Austin. And what happened was they ended up going in and imposing a five-minute idling limit.
Okay.
What the Texas legislators did this time was went in and added some language that if you have a 2008 year model or newer that has been certified as a clean engine,
mm-hmm.
then you can idle anywhere, anytime, with no penalties whatsoever.
And it's going to have a little clean engine logo there on the hood.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I've seen that, and it's interesting. I talked to the driver. I saw this. It was at a stop in Kansas City, and I asked the driver about it and he said, yeah, that's kind of at first that was kind of a reaction to the California Air Resources Board and what was going on there. And he told me, he said, yeah, which is interesting. It's kind of ironic because we chose not to go through California anymore. We decided as an operation we're not going to run California anymore. But you can actually see that. So I guess the question is, under that exemption, do they actually have to have that decal on the truck somewhere, or just proof somehow that it is clean engine technology? Because I know there's a lot of customization that goes on with trucks these days, and they change they will take the logos off, and the OEM logos even sometimes take those off.
It has to be certified by the engine manufacturer as a certified clean engine.
Yeah.
So if he takes the logos off, then chances are if he was idling and was asleep, then they're going to come knock on the door.
And he's going to have to prove it.
And they wake him up and ask him to prove that this is a 2008 or newer certified clean engine from the manufacturer.
Any limits, if you have that clean engine technology, are there any limits where, where you have to stop idling? Only for sleep? You can idle anytime. Well, that's good news because it shows that they're paying attention, at least some legislators are. The new engine technology,
again,
with that technology, the exhaust going out of that engine is actually cleaner than the air going into that engine.
That's true. And I'm surprised that a lot of the other states haven't jumped on board, and are allowing these engines to idle when they're actually purifying the air.
Yeah, exactly. if we could get it, I was telling a friend over the weekend, if we could get enough of those set up in Los Angeles and in Houston, we could probably get some clean air in those areas, or at least we could attempt to filter it.
Carbon credits or whatever
something.
It is.
Something. All right, so stand by. We have, we're going to get to your calls in just a minute. Jay in Knoxville and others, stand by. If you want to get on board, 800-288-9227, Ask the Law. Trooper Dial is here, and we are back in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network.
We're back in 2 minutes. It's 19 past on the Midnight Radio Network.
It's the mid Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
Ask the Law from Monday, August 8, 2011. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial is here from courtesy of Old Blue USA. By the way, the information and answers to questions are up to date. As of today, can change without notice. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Let's get to your calls at 800-288-9227.
We go to Jay in Knoxville. Jay, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Morning, guys. I got a hours of service question. Let's say I start at midnight on my run. I got the same run every day. I run 4 hours. I do my pre-trip. I run 4 hours, 45 minutes up to Buffalo, West Virginia, leaving Flint. I do my drop and hook, post-trip, pre-trip on the trailer that I drop, pick up, so forth. And I drive back about an hour, and I stop in Ashland, Kentucky to visit my mom and dad. I go off duty. They pick me up. I'm away from the truck for, say, 5 hours. And when I get back in the truck, I drive back. But my company says I was in a log violation because I finished my day 15 hours from my starting point. And I argued with them that I didn't go over the 14-hour rule because I didn't work more than 14 hours or drive more than 11. But they're saying I have 14 hours to complete my day from the start of my day. Is that true or not?
Yes, it is, Jay. What's going to happen is those 5 hours that you logged off duty, those are going to count on your 14-hour clock.
The break does not stop your 14-hour clock.
Correct. The only way you can stop the 14-hour clock is either 10 consecutive hours in the sleeper berth, 10 consecutive hours off duty, or if you do the 8 in the and the 2 in what's called the modified split, which you have to have 8 hours, minimum 8 hours in the sleeper berth, the other 2 hours, which can be taken at a later time, can either be off duty or sleeper berth or a combination of the two.
Is this a new law or has this always been that way?
This is the law that's been in effect since August of 2005.
Okay. All right, well, it just caught me off guard when they sent me the letter. But, okay, I appreciate it, guys.
Okay, you bet.
Hi, Jay.
800-288-9227 if you want to get on board. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you believe you are in the right and the company you're leased on to or that you drive for is telling you the wrong thing or vice versa. You're wondering, you have a question about hours of service, CSA. Maybe you've gotten a recent inspection roadside and you're wondering if there's something that's going to affect your CSA score. 800-288-9227 again, 800-288-9227. Where are we on the latest hours of service proposal? Gary and I sit here in this, it just seems like this vacuum tunnel of legislation and rulemaking and everything else. Get us caught up because I think it's important. I think our last caller is proof, and we've done this for many years. We know that even that the rule that was first in place didn't change for years. People had questions about it. It was the same rule for decades, and people always had questions. And by the way, there is no silly question. Don't be afraid to ask a question here on Ask the Law. That's what it's all about. But where are we on the current or on the latest hours of service proposal, and when do we expect new movement?
Right now, the proposed rulemaking has closed.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody should have had their comments in. I think they went in, FMCSA went in and granted a couple of extensions because they were wanting some additional comments on specific items.
Right.
But my understanding is all of those periods have closed. Now then, it's back to the drawing board for FMCSA. And what I mean is they will sit down, review all the comments that have been submitted, and will prioritize those. Once they've sat down and viewed the comments, now then they basically go to the drawing board and make what changes, if changes are to be made. Then they have to send it to the inspector general. Once he reviews it, then it is sent out and published as a final rule.
Yeah. Do we expect that Is there any reason to expect that that's going to be published as a final rule by the end of the year? Are most expecting that?
There are some key dates that FMCSA has to meet based upon the agreement that was met with the litigants, Pat and Crash and all of them.
Right.
They agreed to drop their suit if FMCSA would do this. And so there is a timeline. I'm not exactly sure.
And basically that's the timeline that the FMCSA has to respond to the judge's concerns or orders?
Well, it's a deal that, FMCSA has to get the proposal. One, they had to get the notice of proposed rulemaking out.
Right.
Provide the comment section, then the review section, and then they have to get the final rule out. And it all has to be done within a timeline.
Right.
To satisfy the judge,
right,
before they say, okay, yeah, the suit's completely dropped.
All right, stand by. We have more with Trooper Dial on Ask the Law. If you want to get on board, 800-288-9227. Bruce in Green Bay and others, we will get to your questions next
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
All right, we are here for Monday, August 8th, 2011, and retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial is here to answer your questions courtesy of Old Blue USA. All the information and answers to questions are up to date. As of today, can change without notice. And any comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Remember, you can go to askthelaw.org, click on that big red button anytime that says email Ask the Law and submit your CMV questions. You can do that 24/7. They'll get back to you as soon as possible. And join Old Blue USA at the Great American Trucking Show there in the Safety Center. Right there inside the Dallas Convention Center, and it's going to be nice. It's an inside show, but Trooper Dial will be there along with Lieutenant Monty Key and his team from the Texas Highway Patrol. So be there at the Great American Trucking Show. We'll be out there as well, August 25th through the 27th with Old Blue USA. Let's get to your questions at 800-288-9227.
And we go to Bruce in Green Bay. Bruce, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. You're on Ask the Law.
Hi, guys. How are you tonight?
Good.
Great. I got a question about an expediting business that I have, and I was just wondering, you know, I run a one-ton van, and at times I have customers that ask me to carry a load that's bigger than what I can, and I'm wondering about adding a possible trailer behind my vehicle. And I want to make sure that I do it legally with the right licensings and the correct plates. Now, currently I have a 10,000-pound plate. My vehicle weighs about 6,600 pounds. I might, you know, be able to pull about 2,500 pounds inside it. If a customer wants me to carry a bigger load, what do I need to do if I want to pull a trailer behind, a single-axle or a double-axle trailer that's enclosed?
What you're going to need to do, Bruce, is first off, look at the gross weight of the truck, trailer, and load.
Okay.
Most of the states nowadays, if you are 26,000 pounds or more,
yep,
they're going to require you to be apportioned. So as long as you can take and keep the weight of the truck, trailer, and load to less than 26,000 pounds, then the IRP does not apply.
Okay. I will definitely be under that.
Yeah, if that's the case, then you just get regular registration for the truck and regular registration for the trailer from your home state.
If I have a registration for the trailer and the trailer is good up until 10,000 pounds, my truck is good for up to 10,000 pounds, I'm under 20,000 pounds. Is that correct, or do I have to have a plate that's enough weight for the truck and the trailer?
No, what you'll do is you'll register each one. The IRP, the apportion tags, you put all of the, you register all of the weight on the tag for the truck. And you have what's basically called a token tag for the trailer. But in your situation, you need to make sure that the truck is registered for the weight that it carries and the trailer is registered for the weight that it carries.
Great. And my other option is to get a straight truck. You know, it might be it'll be under 26,000 pounds. My question is, if I stay within the state, I'm fine. But once I cross the border, is it overnight? You need a CDL for that?
No, no. Here again, CDL is based strictly on GVWR, what the manufacturer, when they built that vehicle, they assigned a gross vehicle weight rating. And CDL kicks in if the GVWR is 26,000 1 pound or more.
So if I do cross the border with a straight truck that's under 26,000 1 pound, I will not need a CDL.
That is correct.
Fantastic.
It, does the load play into that? If he, if the load takes him over that,
no,
that
no. Here again, the manufacturer when they built the vehicle,
right?
They will assign a GVWR to the vehicle.
Okay.
And
so through registration, when he registers, it'll all be weighed. It will all be that will be assigned.
Yep.
And that will all be determined. Will he have to stop at a weigh station?
Oh yes, yes. Anytime you are involved in commerce,
yeah,
you are required to pull into the scales.
Yeah.
Even if I'm under 8,000 pounds fully loaded.
Yes. It says commercial trucks.
So if you're a commercial truck,
and you're a commercial truck.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Now then, one other thing I was going to throw in here, Bruce, as a precaution, make sure if you do get a trailer that you get tires on the truck and the trailer that are rated for the weight that you carry.
Yep.
The total weight, including the load?
Yes.
Okay. So the tires have to be rated for the total weight, including the load.
Right.
Okay.
Because anytime you travel interstate, the DOT rules kick in at 10,000 1 pound or more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
yep.
If you're over the 10,000, you know, chances are with the truck that you've got, it's going to be borderline.
Yes.
But as soon as you throw that trailer on there, you're now going to be over the 10,000 1 pound, and they're going to do the roadside DOT inspections. And if they weigh the truck or they weigh the trailer and the weight is more than the weight posted on the sidewall of the tires,
correct,
you're dead in the water.
Yeah, and my tires are better than they can carry quite a bit more weight than my vehicle weighs, and that's a question
that's good.
I've
that's
had
good.
Before.
Yeah, good for you.
yeah, that's for sure. You're right. You want the right tires going on the road.
Oh yeah, definitely. All right, Bruce. Thank you so much, and best
thank
of luck.
You.
We do appreciate that. At 800-288-9227. Let's get one more call in before the break,
and let's talk to Catherine in Cleveland. Catherine, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law with Trooper Dial. Welcome. Hi.
Hi, I've got a question. If I get an overweight ticket for an axle, I'm wondering what negative impact that would have on my CSA or on my license. And I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Let me give her a few minutes to get caught back up with the real world here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she'll get it in trailing, so she's caught up already. Yeah.
Currently, the overweight citations do not count under CSA.
Okay.
That was one of the things that...
there are no points assigned to those?
No. That was one of the things. Initially, FMCSA had it where it would have a point value for the driver, as well as it would impact the motor carrier's safety management scores. FMCSA came in and pulled that down to where right now it does not impact the driver's CSA score or the motor carrier's safety management deal. Some states, if you do get an overweight citation, it shows up on your driver's license, MBR.
Right.
But as far as I know, they do not even count points on that.
All right. Catherine, we do appreciate the call. And drivers, if you want to get on board, we have room for you on Ask the Law. It's 800-288-9227. You got any regulatory question on your mind, we'd love to hear it at 800-288-9227. We are back in a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Welcome and good morning. Get your questions in now at 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
We're here with retired senior trooper Monty Dial, courtesy of Old Blue USA. It is Ask the Law for Monday, August 8th, 2011. All the information is up to date, as up to date, can change without notice, and any comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. And we were just going over, Trooper Dial, you were just telling me the booth numbers for Old Blue USA there at the Great American Trucking Show, which again is coming up in Dallas, August 25th through the 27th at the Dallas Convention Center. GATSonline.com is the website. GATS, G-A-T-S, online.com. And it's booth number 24171 for Old Blue USA.
Yes.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's yes.
And it's also booth number 24165.
That'll be DPS, okay. And my understanding is they will have one of the new Tahoes there on display.
Ooh,
again.
Really?
Yep.
Awesome. I saw one of those new Tahoes over the weekend, and luckily it wasn't behind me. 800-288-9227 if you want to get in. This is the time. In fact, if you have a question about CSA, a question about hours of service, or any other regulatory question, we invite you to get here at 800-288-9227. Somebody was asking me about farm tractors, if there is some kind of new ruling from the Department of Transportation on farm tractors. What do you know about that?
Somebody was trying to stir up a hornet's nest.
Yeah.
What happened is the state of, I believe it's Indiana.
Yeah.
Went in and wanted to change some state rules.
Right.
Dealing with the operations of farm vehicles and farm trailers.
We'll talk more about that later on in the show, but I wanted to get that out there because I've had several emails about that.
Yeah. No, nothing. FMCSA.
No big
not,
changes.
No, FMCSA is not making any changes.
Okay. 800-288-9227. Let's get to a call.
We've got Ron in Jackson, Tennessee. Ron, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hello. Hello. Question for you. I got a ticket. It was in Atlanta, being in the left lane on 285. He wrote me up on an inspection sheet as well as a ticket for being in the left lane. How's this going to affect my PSP report?
It's going to show up on the PSP report as a violation.
Do you know, standard violation, or
do you know what kind of a score is attached to that? What kind of points are attached?
No,
to that?
Because it's FMCSA went in and has modified some of the values.
Yeah.
That they assign different ones, and I don't have the latest.
Right.
A version of them.
But there will be some type of points assigned to that, so it will show up
CSA. Well, what will happen is it will show up as a violation on his PSP report.
Right.
A lot of third-party companies are going in and issuing driver scores, and those scores are going to be something that a prospective employer will say, if you have a overall score of this many points, then we're not going to hire you.
Right, right.
So that's the only thing that the point will show. FMCSA currently still does not plan on taking any type of action against the driver.
Right, right. Right.
So as far as FMCSA coming out and saying, driver, you've got too many points, that's not going to happen.
All right, stand by. More with Trooper Dial on Ask the Law coming up
right here on the Midnight Radio Network.